Morning. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Okay, I think all the kids realized it was children's church time. They know. Okay, so the first video that we saw was just kind of an introduction to this idea of giving, and that we probably can all agree that the idea of giving is a good idea. But this next video is going to give us more of an overview of Covenant World Relief as an organization, some more specifics about what they're involved in and some of the organizations that they partner with. And one of the things that I want to mention, and you probably saw this at the end of the last video, however, maybe not, is there was a way to contact Covenant World Relief, and they gave a website. So I wanted to mention that Covenant World Relief is a very accessible organization. On the back table, kind of by the soundboard, there's some materials about Covenant World Relief. So feel free to pick those up when you leave, but I just want to point them out. This is a good time to point them out. There's this brochure called Partners in Transformation, and this is detailed information about specifically what they're involved with. So some of the topics that they cover, or some of the issues that they're involved with and topics around the world. So some of it is simple things like getting people water that need water or health and nutrition. But they're also involved in like reconciliation ministries, and not just abroad either. They're doing things in the United States as well. So some of the things you see in here, you may say, well, that's an issue in the United States too. And if you go to their website, you can see they're actually involved in different organizations here local or in the United States too. Another thing that it talks about over here is ways that you can get connected, and there are all the information about how you could contact them and get connected. So the website's a really good thing. One of the things that you'll see out in the table in the coming months or the coming weeks, I really wish this would have been in today, but they always put out at Christmas time a Covenant Cares magazine, and this Covenant Cares program that they do, it usually comes out around the holidays, and you can do this online too, is they take different things that you can purchase. You can purchase them just because, or they encourage you to purchase them instead of a gift. So one of the things I did last year at my birthday was I took some of the birthday funds that I got, and I decided that I was going to pay it forward with some of this money. And I love this Covenant Cares magazine because there's gifts in there that cost $5, and there's gifts in there that cost $5,000. So it's kind of like, you know, the very low end and the very high end, as much as you want to give. So what I did for $9 last year for my birthday is I was able to buy, for $9, I was able to buy the 3 shots, like shots that you would get when you go to the doctor. And the purpose of the medication is that after childbirth, one of the problems that happens in third world countries is they don't have enough of the medication that stops bleeding if a woman is bleeding excessively. So if that happens here, the doctor puts some medicine in your IV and it stops. And we don't think twice about it and we get the bill from the hospital and we pay it, right? Or somebody pays it, an insurance company. But there's not enough of that medicine on hand always. And the consequence of that is death. So something that's really simple that we take for granted here in our hospitals can be a life-ending experience for a woman in childbirth in a third world country. But for $9, you could save 3 people's lives? Like, that seems like such a small price for us to pay for $9 to give life-saving medicine to somebody in another country. So you can see, you can buy chickens for families. Could you imagine if you woke up on Christmas morning and had 5 baby chickens to raise? Like, my kids would like that, but could you imagine knowing that that's a life-sustaining gift for a family, that now they have chickens, and maybe somebody else bought them 5 chickens, and they have a flock of chickens that's going to give them eggs and meat that they can either sell or they can use to nourish their family? You can pay thousands of dollars, and you could build a well for a community, right? So, like, not only, like, giving them bottled water like they talked about in this first video, but you could give them a well so that the water keeps coming forever and ever. So anyway, just to give you an idea of some of the things that you personally can do. And so there's this brochure, so you can take that for more information. There's also these envelopes. So there's going to be different ways that you can give, but one of the things is they print envelopes with the information right on, so you can give directly to Covenant World Mission. Here's the envelope, stick a check in, stick a stamp on it, and it goes right there. So those are just 2 things. I'm not going to do a lot more to introduce this video because they will tell you more about what they do in this video.
Tonight, he filed this report on the almost unbelievable horror of people without food, without hope.
Water consumption is a serious problem because as the world gets increasingly crowded, we're also getting increasingly thirsty.
The damage here along the Gulf Coast is catastrophic.
We're following this earthquake in Haiti, a 7.0 magnitude.
An estimated 30 million people worldwide are living in modern-day slavery.
The CDC is raising its alert to the highest level as it monitors the spreading virus.
A quarter of all young children still don't get enough to eat.
Poverty and disaster are everywhere, and the temptation is to give in to despair. But we have hope. God is at work in the world, and we trust that God will make things right. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," we believe we have a part to play in God's answer to that prayer. We join God in God's mission to make things right in our broken world. We are Covenant World Relief. Covenant World Relief is the Covenant Church at work in the world. We believe the church is at its best when it serves the most vulnerable, which is why Covenant World Relief operates in more than 20 countries and works with more than 60 projects. Typically, 2/3 of Covenant World Relief projects are community development, and 1/3 are disaster relief. Generous Covenanters donate more than $1.5 million per year to Covenant World Relief. We don't just fly in and fly out when disaster strikes. Covenant World Relief has active partnerships on 5 continents in more than 20 countries, so we can respond quickly to disasters. Our lasting relationships with local grassroots organizations enable us to engage in transformational community development in the most effective and powerful ways. Covenant World Relief is committed to fiscal responsibility and measurable outcomes. We concentrate on projects that break cycles of poverty and injustice from generation to generation. Covenant World Relief is a partner in transformation with God and God's people. Won't you join us?
One of the things that I really like about that video is it says when we pray, we believe that God's going to work, but also that we get to be part of that too. Like, we're not just praying, God, do this, but how can I help? And so, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can help do that. So I like to acknowledge that God's part of this, but God's also calling us to be part of his work too, not just letting him work. One of the ways that we can be part of it, in this next video, they're going to talk about this Can for Change. And this is probably something that some of you are familiar with because this has been an ongoing project with Covenant World Relief for a long time. And so you'll see back there, Andrew wasn't sure that there was enough for every household here. So if we run out, we'll get more. But if you want to take one of these labels, it looks like a soup can label. And what you do is you wrap it around an empty soup can. So you do this, and it just fits right around a soup can. And then you can put the lid on, and it makes your soup can into a bank. And the idea is that you put all of your extra change in that bank, and then eventually we bring them up as an offering. I didn't get the exact date of when he's planning to collect them, but if you take them today and start filling them, eventually we will collect them. But this is a great idea, right? Because I'm like thinking, I could take this to my work and I could set this on my desk. And one of the things that I love to do every once in a while is stop and get coffee on the way in. But how about I brew my own coffee and then I put the $4 I would have spent on that in the can on my desk at work when I get there? Or how about we encourage our kids to like put their change in there? I could do this really easily. I could put one on my dryer. And when I fold my laundry, I could pick all the change out of the bottom and put it in there. And I could probably fill this pretty quickly. So there's lots of different ways that we can think about. It's easy to fill this up with our little extras that we get. And, you know, how much more important it is to be able to give things that we probably don't really need and put it in this bank. And then we can contribute to that. And I think every small little amount, like sometimes we think, I think this is a good illustration. So this week, my kids got some money in a card from their grandparents, and they each got a $5 bill for Halloween. And Joel, you know, got his money, and he's looking at it, and so we decided that they wanted to go to the store to spend their money in. Okay, we'll do that. And the way there, Joel's like thinking, and he's thinking real deeply. You can tell as deeply as a four-year-old is thinking, and he goes, you know what? I have $5. I am rich. And I said, yes, you are. But, you know, like in his eyes, $5 is a lot of money. And like we might be putting pennies in this bank and think, oh, it's not really. But like think about, they were saying like covenanters, they give $1.5 million, right? Like that all has to come someplace and pennies count. And so we even had the discussion, how many pennies is $5? You know, because like they like think in terms, my kids think in terms of pennies because that's what they have a lot of, you know, that's what they think make them rich. So a $5 bill is like a big deal. But, you know, just small amounts is a big deal. So anyway, here's some more information about this. And if you want to take one, they're on that back table.
Sacagawea, Lincoln, Mandela, Queen Elizabeth, Gandhi, Susan B. Anthony. These people have all changed the world. Truly, their faces are on the change that is changing the world today. Together, your prayers and gifts have changed the world for more than 65 years with Covenant World Relief. Starting now and throughout the year, continue to place your change in the CWR soup can. Your gifts become clean water, community health, education, disaster response, agricultural training, microfinance, justice initiatives, women's empowerment, and so much more. In the process, we are changed, and individuals, families, and communities are transformed around the world. With Covenant World Relief, you can trust that your entire gift supports the ministries of CWR, with at least 90% going directly to our ministry partners. Join us as we partner with God in loving, serving, and working together with the poor, the powerless, and the marginalized. Be our partner in transformation and order the materials to make your own soup can bank online at covchurch.org/CWR.
The next one that we're going to watch, I love because I like looking at numbers, and this is going to give us some numbers. But before we look at it, I want to talk about this idea about radio and news and listening to them. I've shared this with the women's Bible study that happens on Saturday mornings. We've talked through this a little bit, but sometimes it can be really overwhelming to listen to the news and the radio because you kind of feel like, this is so beyond me. I don't even know where to start to help some of these people around the world that are having some major crisis moments, right? One really good example that I have of this is when Andrew and I were first married and he started seminary, we lived in Chicago at North Park. And I worked at North Park for a time, and I worked in the ministry's office there. I was helping in the office. And it was during that time when I was working there that huge tsunami hit. Do you remember this? I think it was like maybe 2003 that this happened. And I remember it being extremely overwhelming for some of the students who were there. And our office specifically ministered to students. And we had a couple of girls in my small group in particular who just felt like they didn't know what to do, but they felt this overwhelming urgency that they needed to do something. And one of the things they said was, we don't have any money. Like, we're college students. We can't even pay our tuition bill. Like, how can we send all the money that they need, that these people need? And so what came out of that was some of these girls were sitting around actually our living room, and they were saying, what can we do? And they started brainstorming these ideas. So one of the girls, and actually she's fantastic and is involved in a youth pastor role right now through the Covenant, plays the drums. And you know, girl drummers are not there's not a ton of them. And so she was always being asked to play in bands because it was kind of like a cool thing to have a girl drummer. So she said, well, I have this talent. And there was another girl in the group that was also singing in choir, in the gospel choir at North Park. I said, I think we could get the gospel choir to do something too. And so all of a sudden they were planning this concert, and they had this huge concert in one of the halls there at North Park, and they invited everybody that they could think of on campus. They invited local churches. They invited their parents. Some of the parents drove in for this. And one night we had this concert, and the concert grew to be such a huge thing that it was more than a normal concert length, right? Like when you go to a concert, you go for like an hour or two, and this turned into like an all evening event. And so many people wanted to participate, and so many of these students were on board. They ended up raising over $5,000, which started as this one little girl saying, hey, I want to do something. I felt really led to do this, but I'm a college student and can't do anything. And they actually donated it all through Covenant World Relief because of the strong connection with North Park and knowing that that's where they could donate their money. But I just think that's a huge thing, right? Like you hear this huge, overwhelming thing that's like, you know, a day's plane ride from us. Like, how can we be involved? But maybe there are, and sometimes when we just stop and we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, huge things can happen. And so this next video is interesting because it's going to give you some numbers. Because a lot of times we focus on those things, right? Like right now, I'm sure everyone's hearing about this refugee crisis in Europe. And how can we help refugees? There's been some strong hurricanes. There was just recently in Asia some major earthquakes, right? And so we were looking at ways that we could get supplies to the people that were impacted by that. But this is going to give us some numbers of just some everyday things that happen too, beyond those big ways. So the need is always there, even when it's not a huge crisis situation. And that's what this one is about.
Everyone remembers turning on the news and discovering in shock that a plane has crashed. These unexpected tragedies capture our attention and our deep sympathy, as they often leave few or no survivors. When a plane crashes, we try to make sense of what went wrong. Yet daily, silent deaths unfold out of public view. Every day, malaria takes lives roughly equivalent to 12 airplane crashes. Lack of clean water and sanitation, 17 plane crashes. HIV and AIDS, 35 plane crashes. Malnutrition, 108 plane crashes. Every day. That's 172 plane crashes today, tomorrow, and every day. How then should we respond? For more than 60 years, Covenant World Relief has been the Covenant Church's response. In the name of Jesus, we are loving, serving, and working together with the poor, the powerless, and the marginalized. We collaborate with partners around the world to provide relief and transformational development. And because we have been at work for more than 60 years, our roots are deep, so we can respond immediately when disaster strikes. When the earthquake hit Haiti, our partners were perfectly positioned to deliver water, food, shelter, and medical care. These deep roots also allow for truly transformational community development. Through trusted partnerships, Covenant World Relief is continually addressing issues of health, nutrition, education, poverty, agriculture, clean water, empowerment of women, and human rights. Our approach is working. Our partners know we are committed to working together to bring real transformation in their communities. Our donors know that more of their funds will reach people in need because we maintain a low overhead and our small staff of committed people truly believe in the work we're accomplishing together. Join us as we love, serve, and work together with the poor, the powerless, and the marginalized.
I think one of the important messages of that is, like I said before, a lot of us are really impacted by these huge news of these huge crises that happen, right? Like when an earthquake happens, we can respond. Or when a tsunami happens, we can respond. But when they gave the example of the earthquake that hit Haiti a few years ago, because of sustaining donations that happen even outside of these crisis events, they were already in place. There was teams of people from Covenant World Relief and organizations that were ready to respond. They were in country and had the things that they needed. They weren't scrambling to get that stuff and get it to Haiti, but they already have those partnerships going. So that's why they need continual funds to be able to continue these ministries and these partnerships with these organizations outside of these crisis times. The last video that we're going to watch is probably my favorite video of all of them. It's called Honduras Water First, and this is going to talk about this organization called Water First and the impact that it's making in Honduras. And the cool thing about this video is we get to actually see the community that's going to get the new well and meet some of the residents. This one tugs on my heartstrings, maybe because I've been part of those, and anyone who was with us who went to Guatemala and actually met the family that we were building the house for, you can see that this is a tangible way to actually change somebody's lives. I would encourage you to pay attention to the ways that they, one, get their water now, the ways that they use the bathroom, because it's a lot different than the ways that we're used to, the things that we take for granted. A lot of us, if we're thirsty, we walk to our faucet and we turn it on. And if we have to go to the bathroom, we go to that room in our house and we shut the door and we do what we need to do. But here in these communities, it's not like that. So I'd encourage you to pay attention, but also just the good work that this. So this is an example of the way that Covenant World Relief isn't going in and being Covenant World Relief in Honduras. What they're doing is they're partnering with an organization that's already in Honduras doing the work. So we're helping this organization do what they're called to do. And the president of the organization that's there is from Honduras. So they're helping local families and local businesses make huge impacts on their community. So this is the last video that we're going to watch this morning.
Thank you. Honduras is a land of contrast. Astounding beauty and dismal poverty exist side by side. Families work hard just to survive.
My name is Lydia. I am married and I have two children. When I was a girl, there was no water where we lived. We had to carry water from the river four times a day and go to the river to wash and bathe. And now we have water from the faucet. Everything is better and easier because you can wash at home. There's plenty of water for cooking and cleaning. We can grow fruits and vegetables in our home. The children are healthier because they can bathe every day and the water is clean. When the children grow, they can start studying. They can go to school.
The water helps us maintain better hygiene here in the school and in the homes of each of the children. They can use the toilets and so don't contaminate the environment. And of course, with the preparation of the food here at the school, they're better fed. They learn more easily.
Since 2005, Water First has worked closely with its local partner, Cose Pradil, to help the people living in this poorest region of the country build their own water systems.
My name is Wilfredo Ramos Ventura. I am the president of Cose Pradil. My motivation to do this work is centered in the fact that I am from here. I was born in a very poor family. I was barefoot the first 8 years of my life. I did not have three meals a day. Our main objective is to meet the needs of water and sanitation in each and every home. We are achieving this little by little, but there is still much to be done.
My name is Maria. I am 49 years old. I have a husband and two children. I have always had to spend time coming here to carry water. At 5 in the morning, my mother would say, "Let's go to the river." And now I spend 3 hours and I make 6 trips a day for water. When the path is sandy, you slip and fall. We have to share the river with the animals. The cattle come and urinate. They poop, and here we are drinking it. It will be so nice to have water from a clean place. And now, with this project, we are so happy because we'll be able to get clean water. We are ready. Everyone is ready to begin the work.
As soon as a community commits, it becomes part of the Cose Pradil family. Each person agrees to work from the beginning to the end of the project, no matter what has to be done.
Apart from their normal labor of cultivating corn, beans, rice, they will have to work with the project for 2 or 3 hours a day, enroll in a training program, and work together to create a strong and organized community.
Constructing water systems through this mountainous terrain is daunting. Each system is spring-fed and relies on gravity to reach communities as far as 20 miles away. A project can take almost 2 years to complete.
They come and work and don't even earn 5 cents. It is very hard work because each section of this pipe weighs 500 pounds, and we need a group of at least a dozen strong men to be able to move it. The wrenches we use to tighten it are heavy and require a great deal of force. It is even more difficult on steep, slippery terrain.
Members of the community also attend training sessions in basic sanitation and public health. They agree to keep their families and communities clean.
20 years ago, toilets in homes were unknown. Everyone went to the bathroom in an open field. And now, each family has a toilet, and that is diminishing the contamination in the water systems and in food preparation.
Before, we had no other choice but to live like animals. But now, with these trainings, life has gotten better.
As communities see the benefits and feel pride in what they've accomplished, they gain confidence to make more improvements, building roads, schools, and clinics.
And as they say, an organization is all the strength. All the strength, yes.
Today, hundreds have gathered to sign the final paperwork for the new project, which will bring water to 152 households in four communities.
When they know that their names have been registered, they say, "Now I know I'm really part of this project."
We want to thank all of you for your courage, for wanting to be part of this big project. We'll be carrying you in our hearts. We will be thinking of you every single day. And we very much look forward to returning when we can see water flowing in each of your houses for the very first time.
I think that's the coolest video of them all. I think it's really cool what they said about how once a community gets water and they've invested all this time and effort into getting water, that it sparks change in the community beyond that water. All of a sudden they have this organization and this sense of pride as a community that they want to build roads and build schools. And it's amazing. Like, maybe some of you have had this feeling before where you do one thing and you realize, I can do this, or this is amazing. And so it sparks you and gives you energy to continue to do other things to improve your life. our scripture this morning ended with Jesus saying, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And I think that's the important thing to end with. Watching this video about water, yes, we have glasses of water or this liquid, but even more so, the roots of Covenant World Relief and what we're doing as a church, the real water that we're offering people is this opportunity to have eternal life in Christ and offering them Christ's love. And all of that is what Covenant World Relief is rooted in as an organization. If you'll join me together, we're going to pray to end our segment about videos before we continue with our service. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the work that Covenant World Relief is doing and the ways that you have blessed that organization and been a part of that organization. Lord, I pray that you would stir in us ways that we maybe could help. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's a way that we can give something tangibly, or maybe it's just your spirit reminding us to pray for the people that we've seen in this video, or the ways that the people that Covenant World Relief is helping, Lord. I pray that you would help our church to understand what we can be as an organization, the ways that we can bless the world beyond our city of Lansing, the ways that we can be involved and help guide us and our leaders in figuring that out as well. And we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.